Thank you, Jesus, God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Hallelujah. Even if I don't feel it, I will bless your name. Even if, Lord Jesus, things are going great, I will bless your name. If they're going bad, I'll bless your name, God. You're worthy, Jesus. You're worthy, Lord God, of all my praise, all my worship, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Welcome to Calvary Gospel Church. Thank you so much for joining us here, as well as those who are joining us online. We're so appreciative of you joining us. If this is your first time and visiting with us, being our guest, if you are here in the sanctuary, we just encourage you to stop by our kiosk out in the vestibule. We have a connection card, just a few points of information. Just want to get to know you. If you are online, you can follow the bit.ly link there, bit.ly/CGC guest. And we filled out a couple pieces of information. We'll be in contact. We have a small gift for you if you are here in person. Amen. Amen. And we are just wanted to remind you that you can go ahead and be seated. If you are interested in giving, if you're here in person, there is a box out, offering box on the kiosk that you can give your tithes and offering. For those who are online, watching online, you can go to cgcmadison.org/giving. You can always mail it in, and then you can text to give, texting one of those keywords to the number on the screen. Amen. Just a couple announcements. We are in our midst of our reset and reconnect 21 days, amen, talking about spiritually resetting and reconnecting mentally as well as physically. So this week is spiritually. We're asking the questions, what needs to go, what can I give away, and what in my life needs more love and attention. Next week we'll be talking about mentally, and then the following focusing on physically and physically decluttering. If anyone has Lego that they're trying to declutter, you can just bring it to the church, drop it off for Pastor Phil, and I will take that off your hands, help you declutter. I just want to be a blessing to someone out there. Amen. Amen. You might have seen on the screen in our loop that midwinter is coming up at the end of the month, 28th and 29th. And typically this is at Parkway Church in Oak Creek, and the image still says that. Just got notified today that they have moved that location to Abundant Life Church in Oconomowoc. So a little closer for all of us, amen. So please be mindful if you're planning to go, or if you weren't, those will be taking place as services in the evening as well as during the day. You don't want to miss that. Make an effort to get out there, especially since it's a little closer to us here in Madison at Oconomowoc Abundant Life Church at the end of the month. Amen. If you would stand with me once again, we want to go before the Lord in prayer. Sister Julie Powell's father was going in for just a standard get a stint put in, and they found some blockage, and he's going to be having I believe Pastor Rick texted me and said a triple bypass. I'm not sure. Sister Julie wasn't sure if it was single, double, or triple, but he's having bypass surgery tomorrow. Ends up, they're bringing a surgeon in from Chicago area, so he's in good hands. But for those having any medical issues during this COVID time, the hardest part is for the family who can't go there, can't visit. And so Jerry is his name, and Sister Sonia is up there by herself with him. Thankfully, she can be there, but that's a trying time. They're getting up there in age, and so let's just pray for Sister Sonia, Jerry in body, and as well as the family who can't be there during. It's kind of a scary situation, you know, last minute. Oh, we need this, so let's pray for them. We're believing for complete healing. We're believing for guidance on the surgeon's hands and peace and that passes all understanding for the family. Amen. Let's go before the Lord in prayer this evening. We thank you so much, God, Lord Jesus, that we can bless your name, that we have the freedom, Lord Jesus, to worship your name, Lord Jesus. Lord, the privilege to honor your name, God, that we can come to you with every need, every situation, every circumstance in our lives, God. Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, that, Lord, we have a hope, God, in you, Lord God. If there's anxiousness in our lives, we can bring it to you, Lord Jesus, God. If there's, Lord, a need in our lives, a physical need or emotional need or financial need, Lord, Lord Jesus, we can bring those to you, God, no matter how great or small. You know every need represented here in this place tonight. God, I pray, minister, God, for those here in person, also watching virtually, Lord Jesus, God, that you'd minister, that your spirit would just flow into those living rooms, Lord Jesus, to those offices, Lord God, those cars, God, wherever it may be watching, God, or listening to, Lord God, I pray, Lord, speak to our hearts tonight through your word. God, I pray you touch Sister Julie Powell's father, Jerry Poplowski, God. We're believing for a complete healing, God. We're believing for guidance in the surgeon's hands as he faces this bypass, Lord Jesus, heart bypass, Lord God. I pray, Lord Jesus, you touch them. Lord God, I pray, bring, Lord, peace that passes all understanding, comfort, Lord God, strength, Lord God, for the family, God, during this time, which is so difficult with medical situations during this time. God, I pray, Lord, especially strengthen, Lord, Sister Sonia, Lord God, I pray, God. Lord God, touch that family, God, in Jesus' name. Lord God, we thank you so much. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your ever-presence in our lives, God. We give you all the praise, all the glory, Lord Jesus. We glorify your name. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. We glorify your name. Let's just give him a hand clap of praise and a wave offering to him tonight. Lord, we glorify you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Continue to stand and worship tonight. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, church. Such a very, very sweet presence of the Lord in this place tonight. So good to see Sister Beulah Lee here tonight. So God bless you, sister. She's up here having a few health issues. Continue to remember her in your prayers. But so good to see you. And also, thank you so much, Brother Ben and Sister Stephanie, for an incredible job on Sunday morning. Thank you so very much. So you could be seated this evening. And as Brother Phil mentioned, we're in a series titled Reset and Reconnect. And we have those out in the vestibule if you'd like to take one of those little flyers with you. And we've been talking about spiritually, our souls, and then, of course, the mind and then the body. And if you haven't taken your stress test that we handed out and offered to all of you, if you'd like to continue to do that, or if you haven't done that, you still have time to do that. What we're going to do is the results of that. I'm started to go through and split some things out, and when we get to the end of our series here, where we talk about the body, we're going to take and we're going to bring in some of the results of that. God created us body, mind, and soul, and that's why we have the three-legged. It's very critical in our lives, in our relationship with God, relationship with one another, and our relationship with ourselves. So tonight we're going to be speaking. We're going to move into guarding your heart. Now, I'm using the term tonight, heart. You're going to hear me kind of intermingle heart and soul. I'm not prepared to give a Bible study on the difference between the soul, heart, and the spirit. They're very much interchangeable when you read in Scripture. When we make references to that, we will say, if it's an emotional a reference, we will say, he stole her heart. We don't say he stole her soul. We use soul when we're basically talking about the spiritual side or the eternal side of a being. So looking at this, we're going to interchange tonight. So we'll be interchanging some with the heart and the soul, but we're talking about guarding your heart. Guarding your soul. I've said this many times, that your soul is your most valuable possession that you will ever own. And as a society today, I believe that we are at times obsessed with self-preservation. We use all kinds of gadgetry today to protect ourselves, to protect our stuff. We have house alarms in our homes. We have fire alarms. We have carbon monoxide alarms. If we were to stand up right now and everybody pull your key fob out of your pocket and push the right button, there would probably be 50% plus of the cars in the parking lot. Horns would start to beep because you have a car alarm on your phone. We use double locks on our doors. I look at my house right now, and my front door has double locks. It's got a regular lock. It has a deadbolt, and we want to make sure that we are secured in our homes. We install hidden cameras all over the place. We guard our online sites. We have security tokens. Our computers have passwords and PIN numbers, and our credit cards have passwords and PIN numbers, and we protect our possessions. We will lock our possessions in a locked garage, and then we will put a key and a chain and lock those possessions up even further. We buy fire insurance. We have home insurance. We have travel insurance. We have life insurance. We take extra efforts. We pay extra money. We make sure that our physical lives and our worldly possessions are very well protected. It's not a bad thing to do all of this. I don't know if you've ever had anything stolen from you before, but I've had my vehicle broken into and my stereo stolen out of. You feel somewhat violated. There's nothing wrong with that. But what about your soul? What about your heart? What about your spiritual well-being? We have to ask ourselves this question. Do you guard your soul with the same level of security that you guard your computer? Do we pay attention to the safeguards of our soul? You say, well, Pastor, what are you talking about tonight? I'm talking about your relationship with God. You see, we are a spiritual entity, a spiritual being. And if we care so much about the physical, we will take care of our bodies at times, exercise our bodies. We take care of the physical, we take care of the material. We seemingly aren't as concerned when it commanded in Luke chapter 12, verses 18 through 20, and this is just a reference tonight. We're not studying this parable, but as an example, he builds bigger barns to store his extra grain and his extra goods. He even went as far as to tear down his smaller barns and build bigger barns because he had a lot of stuff. With plenty of stuff stored up for his retirement, we read in verse 19 of this passage that he sits down, he props up his chair. If you can imagine, he grabs his glass of iced tea or lemonade and he says, soul, take thine ease. You've worked hard your whole life. You've stored up massive amounts of stuff. So just sit back, light the grill, have a filet mignon, eat, drink, and be merry. You see, understand something. In this parable, we don't find anywhere where Jesus was condemning him for having stuff. That's not what this was about. Jesus was condemning him because of his attitude towards the lackadaisical attitude towards his soul. You see, he was saying that all of this other stuff is more valuable than my soul. He's taking care of his stuff, and he's missing out on the spiritual, the most important part of life. God says, thou fool, this very night, your soul, your life will be demanded from you. And he died that very night without a chance to enjoy what he had spent a lifetime building. He lost everything. He lost everything. I think this is a very sad and a very pitiful story. We read in verse 21, Jesus says, this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. Jesus says in the book of Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37, again as a reference, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet lose his own soul? What would a man give in exchange for his soul? What are you willing tonight to give in exchange for your soul? Just a question. Have you been paying attention to your life with God? What about your relationship with Jesus Christ? We read in the Old Testament, we read in the farewell chapters, if you want to call it that, in the book of Joshua, chapter 23 and 24, we read Joshua, he has two farewell speeches. Now Joshua, he's old and Scripture says he's well advanced in years. In chapter 23 records his last words to the leaders, the elders, the judges, and all the officials of the nation of Israel. And chapter 24 was his last words to the people as a whole, the nation. As can be expected, Joshua, very wise man, wise in years, was very concerned about their relationship with Jehovah God. He asked him a few questions. One of those questions was, can you as a nation, can you as a people, can you remain faithful to God? He goes back and he covers all types of, he goes all the way back to Abraham and works his way forward. He's asking them, can you remain faithful to God? Will you heed? Will you follow after us as a nation, commandments in which to live by? And will you follow after those commandments? Will you continue to love? Are you going to love and obey? What would you say to the next generation? Israel, what are you going to teach your children? We have a lot of young families here at Calvary Gospel Church, and my challenge to you tonight is the very same question as Joshua posed to Israel that day. What are you going to teach your children? I'm not just talking about Bible verses. I'm talking about what values, what principles are you going to instill into them? That's the stuff that really matters in the life of a person. Listen, there's a lot of things in the Scripture. We can memorize a lot of things, but just memorizing things doesn't necessarily mean that we apply them to our lives. See, what is it? What values, the stuff that matters? Your heart matters. Your children's heart matters. And Joshua was encouraging them to preserve it and to guard it. I wish to read tonight from Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 27. I'm going to be reading from the NIV. You can follow along in the King James if you would like to, if they have the NIV on the screen. I'm not for sure, but anyway. It says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Now, this is Solomon writing a letter, if you could put it that way, of advice to his son. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Let corrupt talk, or keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Be careful. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left, and keep your foot from evil. In this brief passage, these seven verses, King Solomon begins to outline four basic principles that we can follow today in when it comes to guarding your heart. Principle number one is recognize the treasure. Recognize the treasure. As I've said, your heart is the most valuable possession you will ever own. When we look at this, two phrases begin to jump out from this passage. One is, above all else, He's saying, above all else, listen to me, son. Put everything else I've taught you aside and pay attention to this. This right here is what matters. And then he says, the wellspring of life. What's he talking about by the wellspring of life? He's talking about the blessings from the Almighty God. To experience the fullness of our faith and partake of the blessings of God, we have to recognize the treasure of our heart. Understand, above all else, what is that communicating to us? It's communicating to us priority. So is this your heart, son? Your heart should be top priority. And the wellspring of life communicates the wonderful promises that we find in the Word of God. Solomon describes guarding your heart, protecting your soul is more important than anything else. To us as Christians, oftentimes we love to follow after this principle or the doctrine of self-denial. We talk about this. One of the key aspects of following after Jesus Christ is taking up our cross and following Him. We may have said that to people over our lifetime. Well, you have to take up your cross and follow after Jesus. But we expect to take up our cross, but yet we don't always take care of our heart. We look at take up our cross as all the sacrifices, all of those other things that come in with following after Jesus. But we don't always address taking care of our heart. Jesus declared in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, that we should love the Lord with our God with all of our heart. All of our heart. Notice what he puts in here. He says, all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength, that's your body. He puts everything together here, body, soul, and mind. He puts it all together and says, you're to love God with all of this. When he describes the kingdom of God in Matthew 15, verses 16 through 20, Jesus reveals that things that come out of the heart defile a man. He also taught that where your treasure is, in Luke chapter 12, verse 34, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We're talking about resetting our lives, and it has to start with resetting your heart. The Apostle Paul prayed for the saints at Ephesus in his book to the Ephesians in chapter 1, verse 18. He says, the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Our heart is a treasure. Our heart is a treasure. The heart, it's a mysterious spiritual reality that allows us to experience. I don't understand it all, Pastor Sile. I wish I could understand everything with the heart and the soul and the spirit and the mind and how everything is divided and how God looks at it, but I just can't seem to quite wrap my mind around it. But it's this mysterious reality that allows us to experience the fullness that God desires us to have in our lives. It includes emotion, but it's not limited to just emotion. According to the scripture, the heart, it can be grieved. We have folks today that are grieving in their hearts. The heart can be broken. Ever had a broken heart? The heart can be pierced. Times when situations and things happen to us and we feel like someone just stabbed us in the heart. The heart can be divided. There are times that we love and times that we hate. Times we forgive and times we refuse to forgive. The heart can be joyful. The heart can be saddened. The heart is defined as the very core of our lives, the very core of our existence. Our heart can be said as the truest expression of who you and I, who humanity really is. But having identified the biblical principle of recognizing the treasure, the value of your heart, we have to recognize it's important for us to recognize the treasure of our heart. Not just suggesting. So for us to recognize the treasure and the value of our heart, we must first prioritize the task of guarding our heart. So our next point was, yes, we recognize the treasure. We recognize the value of your heart. But then you have to prioritize the task. You see, you can recognize the value. You can say, oh, Pastor, I understand the value. I understand what you're saying here. My heart above all, it's my soul. It's the most valuable thing. But do you prioritize that? Is that your number one list of what's important in your life? It's my heart, my soul. If I were to ask you here tonight to identify the top 10 Christian disciplines in your life, would guarding your heart be in that top 10? I would guess that most of us would say worship. What's the most important principle? Well, worship's very important. I agree. Prayer. Oh, yes, we have to pray, Pastor. We have to pray. That's a high priority. Bible reading. Yes, we must study. We must read, study the scripture. What about witnessing, evangelism? Oh, that's real high. That's up there. What about giving? Yes, that's up there. What about loving your neighbor? Yes, priority. It strikes me odd that the command to guard our heart is really rarely, if ever, receives a priority. That the scriptures that we read attached to the heart, we look at those in much different value. Sometimes we make the false assumption that taking you, it's all about you here. It's about your heart. Did I tell you that it's the most valuable possession you will ever have? Your heart, your soul. It better be your highest priority. What was Jesus really talking about when he gave that life lesson about the pearl? Think about that. You can look at this and it can be stated in all kinds. I've heard this parable preached in all different kinds of ways. A man can lose all that he truly values if he becomes obsessed with wealth. Greed corrupts, opens the door to evil. What is most valuable in our lives? That pearl of great price should be your soul, should be your heart, and it cannot be purchased at any earthly price. We must, church, as we reset our lives in 2021, we must make matters of the heart a priority. Striving for moral purity is a critical and necessary part of following after Jesus Christ. You see, you say, well, Pastor, what do we need to protect our heart from? Please listen to me. You have to protect your heart from trash. Guarding is more than just protection. We talk about guarding our hearts, prioritizing. It includes pursuing and providing. So when you look at this, guarding your heart is more about what are you feeding your heart. It's not just about avoiding. You want to protect your heart. You want to guard your heart. You want to keep your heart pure. Just read a proverb every day and just commit it to living it. The book of Proverbs identifies to us so many things to avoid in life. What is it? What does Solomon say? Do not turn to the right or left. Keep your foot from evil. Give careful thought to the paths and be steadfast in all your ways. What he's saying is, there's a lot of bad stuff out there, son. Pursue wisdom. Discipline yourself. Discipline your life. So we have recognized the treasure. We prioritize the task. Sometimes I much rather watch YouTube than watch a message being preached. Why? Because my flesh enjoys. Maybe I should have restated that. On what you watch on YouTube makes a huge difference. I'm obsessed with Greg Woodstock, the pond guy, aquascapes. I get videos from him two or three a day. Some of these beautiful ponds that they build all over. Okay, that's what I'm referencing in my mind, so make sure you follow along. I don't know what you reference in your mind, but you know what I'm talking about. You chuckled with that. You're like, yeah, okay. Oh, boy, we got them here. You just kind of stepped in it yourself, too, there. So just minimize the trash. Guarding your heart, it includes seeking after God, but we cannot ignore the instruction to minimize. You're not going to eliminate everything out of your life. You can't eliminate it. I mean, everything you see, I mean, you see it. Once you see it, you've seen it. And sometimes it's just, we don't intentionally, but minimize it. The verse that follows the command to guard your heart, it says, put away perverse speech, looking straight ahead and choosing good paths. We can read in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, therefore, since we have also such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily entangles us and run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith. Both of these passages in Hebrews and Proverbs reveal the need to remove some things from our lives so we can run this race of faith. Some trash is easy to identify. Some things are simple. Moral corruption, perverse behavior, we can all identify with that. Those people who stand in opposition, perhaps, to God's will for our lives. Sometimes there's other trash in our lives, in our hearts, that's a little more difficult to identify. Lack of faith. Kind of hard to identify that sometimes, isn't it? Willingness or unwillingness to forgive. We like to bury that one deep. Materialism, pride, all of these things can stop the flow of blessings in your life. If God hasn't, if you're sitting there tonight and you're saying, you know, Pastor, God just hasn't blessed me in a long time, maybe you need to do a checkup. Don't check yourself out. Let God do the checkup. Because Scripture tells me, my heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? But when God reveals it to you, that's the purpose of this reset, allowing God to reveal things. Trash. Trash, big or small. Hear me. Trash, big or small, is still trash. I can go out. We talk about decluttering our hearts, our souls, our minds, our bodies, our homes, our closets, our garages, our cars, our trucks. I have a whole lot more trash in my shop than I have in my truck, but I still got trash in my truck. It all needs to be cleaned out. Little trash is still trash. Little sin is still sin. What did Paul challenge Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:24? He says to purify himself. This is such a valuable little nugget of information. He's telling Timothy to purify yourself so that he would be a special instrument. Set apart, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. You want to be useful, a special instrument, useful to God? Sometimes God can't use us because we just have trash, too much trash inside our hearts. Listen, I don't care how you act here. It's how you act out there that matters. We've all, listen, when the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, I'd like to just say all have become hypocrites. We've all been hypocritical at times, and we've come short of the glory of God. We've all acted one way here and another way out there. But Paul is challenging Timothy. He says, purify yourself. You want to be used by God? Clean the clutter out of your heart. And then our last point tonight, and this will be wrapping up quickly so if our musicians can come, is energize the truth. Note the instruction in Proverbs 4:20. Pay attention, pay attention. Solomon emphasizes that living a life of divine truth is followed by the promises of life and health. Church, our world is so void of truth today. You don't know what to believe anymore. I don't. I've prayed. I've said, God, help me as the pastor to navigate through this mess that we're having to live life through right now, because I don't know what's truth, what isn't, who's telling the truth, and who's not. There's so many agendas going on out there right now. It's just absolutely mind-boggling, pukey, and pathetic. But you see, Jesus said the truth would set you free. We live in a world that's so opposed to truth. Our culture promotes, hear me, our culture promotes tolerance over truth. But you see, the wise king reminds us there's a difference between right and wrong, good, bad, righteousness, and evil. We must appreciate the difference between facts and truth. I hear this all the time. Well, the fact of the matter is, Oh boy, I've heard more facts that have been untruthful lately than any time or else in the rest of my whole life. Fact check is not correct. Just throwing that out to you if you think it is. Understand something. It's all we hear about. Check the facts, check the facts, check the facts. You know what? Facts can only provide information. It's all they can do. But truth produces transformation. So many believers, so many people treat knowing Jesus Christ as just a simple fact. Do you know Christ? Oh yeah, I know him. I watched a lady talk and plead, was talking about how she was so broken that she needed to get back to church and needed to reconnect. And she went on and on and on. And she gets done. She lets out a whole line of profanity. I'm thinking to myself, guard your heart. People know Christ as a simple fact, but they don't know truth. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, truth will produce a transformation. So in conclusion tonight, as you stand to your feet, guarding your heart is critical to experiencing all that God desires for your life. When we recognize the treasure, when we prioritize the task, minimize the trash, and energize the truth, we place ourselves in a position to receive the blessings from Almighty God. I'd like to leave just one simple story here in closing. I've always been fascinated by submarines. I've gone up to Manitowoc, Wisconsin, to the museum up there where you could go through the submarine. And I have a very good friend that I grew up with. His sister used to attend this church years ago as our church secretary, actually, before Sister Thorpe, Sister Judy Greeley. Her brother Tom, he works for a company that builds nuclear attack subs. I was out there, we were out there in Connecticut where he lives visiting, and he was sharing some of the things. He's on the design team that helps design what the Pentagon wants when it comes to nuclear attack submarines. They consist of some of the most amazing technology on the planet. They have sensors in the nose of a submarine that literally cancels out its sound. I don't know. I can't wrap my mind around that, how you design something that cancels out your sound. But it's like as it goes through the water and it produces noise, it's just got this big vacuum cleaner that sucks all that noise right back up into it. It's mind-boggling. But as incredible as these submarines are, a lump of uranium the size of a football will power that submarine for 25 years. Never has to be refueled. You can take a nuclear submarine and you can pull it up to a port, San Diego, and you can hook that submarine up to the electrical grid and it can power an entire city. Mind-boggling. But with all of the incredible, amazing technology on these submarines, every 3 months, that submarine can go underwater, Pastor Phil, for 3 solid months without coming to the surface. Produces its own oxygen. But every 3 months, that amazing tube of technology has to resurface. Why does it have to resurface? You see, while underwater, the submarine's navigational system is affected by the Earth's magnetic core. And because these submarines carry missiles of mass destruction, they have to pay very close attention to their navigational equipment and how it is aligned to one true reference point. So that complicated ball of technology has to surface so it can realign itself to a true reference point, which is the North Star. You say, Pastor Ron, what does submarines have to do with our heart and our soul? Well, it can provide an excellent picture of our heart. Our hearts can be complicated beyond belief. But just as a submarine has enough physical provisions like food, water, and fuel to survive almost indefinitely underwater, it cannot perform at its highest level or complete its designed mission without properly aligning to a true reference point. And we cannot live our lives, as complicated as we are, as difficult of systems that we operate, we cannot live our lives without proper alignment to a true reference point. And our hearts, your heart, my heart, is the navigational equipment for our lives. And we must stay aligned with God. We must stay aligned with God by guarding our hearts. Stay locked onto God's will, and His blessings will continue to flow through your life. So, church, my challenge to you tonight is guard your heart. Guard your heart. Recognize it for its value. Prioritize guarding your heart. Careful of what you let in it. Energize it with truth. So, Sister Abby, as you begin to sing tonight, I just want to open up a time of prayer. This altar's open if you wish to come to the altar. Perhaps you just want to pray there as a family. It's your choice tonight, church. Recognize the treasure. Prioritize the task. Minimize the trash. Energize your heart with truth. Guard your heart. Thank you so much for coming tonight. If you joined us online, thank you so very much. God bless you all. Remember, our midwinter camp has been moved. The dates are the same. All of that stayed. The speakers are the same. It's just moved from Parkway in Oak Creek to Oconomowoc. And somebody remember the name of the church in Oconomowoc. Is it Life? Abundant Life? Okay, Abundant Life in Oconomowoc. So make sure you make a note of that if you are going. So God bless you. Love you all very much. We will be back here Sunday. We're going to start talking about the mind, the power of the mind. God bless you.